Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
Everyone, so join us again next Saturday. And the chat continues online when you like Radio Outlook on Facebook and follow us at Radio Outlook on Twitter.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio, AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
Michael Collins, your progressive candidate for Franklin, Delaware, and Knox Counties.
My name is Kylie, and I want to tell you about my dad, Michael Collins, who serves on the State Board of Education. Education is my dad's passion, and for over 30 years, Michael Collins has been serving Ohio's school children. He cares about our schools and will always work to make them better. Please vote for my dad, Michael Collins, for the State Board of Education, now through November 6th.
I'm Michael Collins, and I approve this message. Paid for by Collins for Schools, Kathy Ottinger, Treasurer.
I'm Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner. Every time I go to a Clippers ball game or a concert at the renovated Lincoln Theater, I'm reminded how lucky we are to live in Franklin County. Despite hard times, we're on a winning streak with the highest credit rating of any Ohio county, job creation, a partnership for healthy babies, and a program to support our veterans. Let's work together to make it better.
Keep Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner.
Paid for by Paula Brooks Committee and Dorian Lenzati, Treasurer.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meat Packers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street downtown. Meat Packers Outlet is family-owned and operated and has proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meat Packers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items. This week's specials include a 10-pound bag of chicken leg quarters for just $9.90, thick sliced rind-on bacon $3.99 a pound, in-cut pork chops just $2.49 a pound, and Virginia baked ham is just $2.99 a pound. Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, closed Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main, downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
A yes vote on issue 2 puts citizens in charge of fair elections. Your vote should count. A yes vote is critical. It means our voices will be heard. When you have fair elections, everyone wins. Vote yes on issue 2.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
I'm busy with two jobs and a two-year-old, but I will make time to vote. On equal pay and women's health, things I depend on, I know Democrats are right and Republicans are dead wrong. I'm voting for Democrats.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
This is Mayor Mike Coleman urging you to support your local Democrats this week and on Election Day, Tuesday, November 6th. Democrats across the nation, state and local levels have united like never before. Like Commissioner Paula Brooks, who is using her campaign to help other Democrats improve our entire community. Sheriff Zach Scott is a crime stopper. Sheriff Scott is working hard to make our community safer and stronger. Sheriff Scott has the support of the FOP, firefighters, OCSE, and Ask Me Local 11. Terry Brown, candidate for county recorder, is a true public servant both on and off the job. Terry Brown has worked in housing, community planning, and health care. Our entire Democratic slate represents fairness, equality, inclusion, and a good government. Democrats fight for seniors, workers, neighborhoods, and good jobs. This election, stand with the Democrats who have stood with you. Vote the Democratic ticket from top to bottom. Vote early or vote Tuesday, November 6th. Thank you.
Paid for by Franklin County Democratic Party, Greg Haas, Chairman.
I'm Ohio Supreme Court Justice Yvette McGee Brown. As the only Democrat on the Ohio Supreme Court, I believe in tough but fair justice. I was raised by a single mom, worked my way through college, and earned a scholarship to law school. As the only Democrat on the Supreme Court, I'm proud to have earned the respect of my six Republican colleagues. I'm Yvette McGee Brown, and I respectfully ask for your vote.
Highly recommended by the Ohio State Bar Association. Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
It's time to fight back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. To join the conversation, call the studio line at area code 614-821-1580. And now, here's Dr. Bob.
Get up, stand up.
There's Robert.
Stand up for your rights. Hi, Dr. Bob Trace live in the studio. Get ready to fight back. For an hour here, we're going to fight back, and there's plenty to fight back about. We're privileged to have Jill Stein, the Green Party presidential candidate, in the studio, and she's in town, and she's fighting back. She's standing up for your democratic rights. She did press conferences at the Capitol yesterday and in Cincinnati. And unlike the Democratic Party, when push comes to shove, they're often gutless and soulless. If they try to steal the vote this year, Jill Stein has a spine. She will.
You took your lessons from Jesse Jackson very well.
This is true, Michael. He once tried to teach me how to rhyme. I didn't do well. He tried to get me to say the Connolly anomaly.
And was that Jane Connolly or Ann Connolly?
Ellen.
Ellen Connolly.
Connolly. Yes. But the Green Party, as we did the recount in 2004, and remember how important it was what the Greens did. On election night, they're claiming Bush has 139,000 votes. After the Green Party recount, Bush had, and that was only 3% by law, Bush had 118,000 votes. What if we would have counted the other 97%? You would have seen that the exit polls were right, that John Kerry had won. But who had the right to recount them all? John Kerry, and he didn't. That's why it's so important that Jill Stein is in town, that she's running, and that the Green Party is committed to counting every vote. Jill Stein, why is that such an important value to you in the Green Party?
Well, excuse me, in the Green Party, we feel like our system of democracy should be about one person, one vote. That means you got to count the votes. Unfortunately, our system is mostly $1, one vote. And on so many fronts, we've got big money running the show here rather than everyday people. And it's because this system is about money and not people, that they have all kinds of ways to steal the election, to purge voter lists, to wipe people out, to move voting places to parts of the county where people can't get there, where everyday people who need public transportation, who need an accessible polling place. You know, it's moved to the other side of the city. We just came from one of those polling places where, you know, people have been waiting for hours in line and often out in the cold. Yesterday, we were in Cincinnati at a polling place where there were long lines and people had to stand out in the cold. You know, we've heard real warning signs that the fix is in, certainly in Ohio and potentially in Florida and Colorado. But, you know, Ohio has been this battleground, and there are real warning signs right now with your Secretary of State having eliminated early voting for many voters, with this new electronic gizmo suddenly introduced for some of the voting machines, for the optical scanners, so-called. Suddenly there's a new so-called patch, this little electronic thing, which is completely untested and uncertified and in violation of state and federal election law, because it opens the door to electronic fraud, to switcheroos like happened in Ohio 4 years ago, I'm sorry, 8 years ago, where suddenly 300,000 votes were moved at 2 a.m. electronically from the Democratic to the Republican column. So there's all kinds of ways that the vote is corrupted, and we need to be able to stand up and fight for our rights. And one of those rights is the right to have our vote counted. So as a candidate, you know, I'm here now in Ohio to give early warning that if we see tampering, if we see fraud, if we see manipulation of voters being sent by poll workers to the wrong polls, that we're going to stand up and fight to have a recount, a fight to ensure that we have as much of a democracy in this very rigged system. So it's important we fight it in other ways, too, that we'll talk about later. But right now, we're fighting to ensure that every vote is counted in Ohio.
If I may take issue, Jill, with one thing you said, you talked about Husted's patch being illegal. As a matter of fact, it's not illegal because they have put a nomenclature on it as experimental, which bypasses the legality of it.
It is state-of-the-art 2002 patchware, Michael.
Well, so that's very experimental.
They declared it experimental.
So basically, we're going back to Windows Millennium Edition is what we're doing, huh?
Yeah.
And we know what a success that was.
So
maybe not illegal in the letter, although I think that's contestable,
exactly.
But certainly illegal
I think it's
in the spirit.
Yes.
And in the spirit of the law, this is illegal.
I agree with you completely, yes.
Right.
No, it's they claim it's experimental, but there's nothing that would indicate. The only thing they're experimenting with is probably switching votes in this case. But,
which has been very successful in the past.
Yeah.
Right. Needs no experimentation
yes.
at all.
Well, let's go through the whole process of voting to get your perspective, Jill Stein, as the Green Party presidential candidate. Number one, in the European Union, voting is a constitutional right. At the age of 18... the governments register you to vote. In Ohio, since the last election, they have purged 1.1 million voters because they didn't answer mail sent to them by a board of election or because they hadn't voted in the last two federal elections. Does the Green Party see voting as a universal right? I mean, why would you purge anyone in a computer age? Why wouldn't you just keep them on the computer and particularly in an ID state? How do you see this voting as a universal right or 50 different state rights in 88 counties in Ohio get to decide who votes?
Yeah, exactly. Voting is really a constitutional right, and we actually are calling for a constitutional amendment to clarify in no uncertain terms that right, which means then that states cannot go about the business of creating these voter ID laws, which are intended to disenfranchise voters. It will be very, very clear at that point that poll taxes are not allowed, that prohibitive ID cards are not allowed, that the right to vote is a constitutionally guaranteed right, and we are advocating, actually, a voter bill of rights, which includes and begins with the constitutional right to vote.
That's Jill Stein. Now, Jill, another problem that we've pointed out in Ohio, maybe you could comment on, private companies keep the electronic voting rolls. Thousands, and these companies, Triad is the favorite one here, they made the butterfly ballot in California, which caused tens of thousands of votes to be attributed to the wrong candidate. They're mainly known in Ohio as one of the leading right-to-life families. Should private partisan companies be keeping the electronic voting rolls? They keep them in places like Cuyahoga County, where in 2004, a quarter of all the voters in Cleveland were purged. What's your position on these private right-wing companies controlling the voting rolls?
There should be no private companies in the loop here at all. That voting is a public right, and it should be part of the public commons. You have these private companies claiming that it is it's trade secret, you know, their code is unreadable to anybody but them. This is like it doesn't pass the laugh test. What's wrong with this picture, particularly when you have private companies that are owned in large part by the candidates themselves? And that has just been revealed thanks to the work that you, Bob Fitrakis, are doing and your associates are doing. It's been revealed just in the last couple of days, thank you all so much for doing that, that in fact one of these private companies running some of the voting machines here in Ohio and in other states is actually indirectly owned in significant measure by Mitt Romney, one of the presidential candidates, and his family. What are we talking about when one of the candidates actually has control over the machines that will decide the election, and that part of that control means that it is absolutely guarded and shielded from public scrutiny? If there was ever a setup for fraud, this is it. It should be absolutely disallowed. I think there's probable cause here for an injunction against the use of these machines in this election.
I agree with you, and I'd like to give a shout-out to Jerry Bello, who co-wrote that with me.
Jerry.
And did the research. One day I was sitting around reading stuff about how Soros owned these voting machines, and I turned to Jerry and said, see if this right-wing rumor is true. Turned out not to be true, but Jerry went on to the next company, Hart InterCivic, and Solimare, the equity firm, has a partnership with Higg Capital, and Higg Capital controls Hart InterCivic, and people are there on the board is controlled from people from Bain Company, where Romney was the CEO, and two of them are major fundraisers, what are called bundlers of money for Romney. So Romney's major fundraisers and his own family's equity firm have an investment in Hart InterCivic, which is counting the votes in Cincinnati, among other places, 18 million votes in the nation, 7.8 million on electronic voting machines. Another key question, because they have a ton of money, is what is the Green Party's position on money in politics? Where do you stand? Are corporations people, and is money free speech, Jill Stein?
Well, if you think so, you must really like everything that's going on, because in this state of non-democracy that we have, you know, we're sending our jobs overseas, we're undermining wages here at home. The jobs that are coming back are low-wage, insecure manufacturing jobs now, some of them, like General Motors, that the president keeps pointing to as the sign of recovery. General Motors, where wages have been slashed, you know, it's a recovery if you're a CEO, or if you're a multinational corporation, things are going great, you know, and so keep voting for it, you know, and that's what a system that is of, by, and for Wall Street and the 1% will give us. Louis Brandeis, the Supreme Court Justice, 100 years ago or so, said we can have either vast concentrations of wealth or a democracy. We can't have both, because when you have those vast concentrations of wealth, and the upper 1% now has 42% of the wealth, all in the hands of the top 1%, whereas the lower 50% now all shares 1% among them. It's just like staggering. So we have the political system that goes with that. It's been bought out. And for the Supreme Court to misinterpret the Constitution, to say that money is speech, is the underpinnings of this outrageous concentration of wealth, a political system that's been bought and paid for. So we support a constitutional amendment. In fact, this originated from Greens, and the Green Party was, you know, I think still is the only political party, the only national political party at least, that is supporting the move to amend a constitutional amendment that will clarify that money is not speech and corporations are not people. Because if they have the rights of people, in addition to all these, the power that comes with concentrated money, which is what you get when you're a corporation, you get all that power without any responsibility. It essentially wipes out the power of ordinary mortals. And they claim the constitutional right, for example, for equal protection. So communities cannot regulate the stealing of their water supplies, the pollution of their air, the working conditions for working people. You know, this isn't just a violation of our constitutional rights. It gives them the power to you know, to just steamroll over all of our rights, to violate workers' rights and worker protections and environmental protections and you name it across the board. We've given up the goat. So it's very important that we stand up and support this constitutional amendment. And I just want to say that one thing that a president could do if she wanted is to get on primetime TV and on public service radio announcements, you know, and not just be the commander-in-chief, but the organizer-in-chief, because most Americans actually support such a thing. It doesn't have to be this unbelievable mountain to climb to pass a constitutional amendment. When the American people already support this, in poll after poll, people support taking back our rights. And there's a lot that a president could do to help move that forward. And that's just, you know, one small piece of a very broad public interest agenda to create jobs, not just tax breaks for job creators to move jobs to India and China. You know, public wants jobs now. They want to tax the rich. They want to downsize the military. They want to restore our constitutional rights. These are, you know, this is part of a broad agenda. Healthcare is a human right that the public is actually clamoring for right now. If democracy had anything to do with it, we would win this election and these policies would be in effect starting in January of 2013.
821-1580. We're talking with Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein on the question of democracy. Jill, how should elections be funded?
They should be publicly funded because if they're not publicly funded, we are funding the political predators in all of the things that flow from that election. So the deals get cut under the current system between people who are running for office and the source of the big money. If we don't fund it, it will be funded by Monsanto, by the war contractors, by the health insurance companies, by the banks, by the fossil fuel companies, by the frackers, all the guys who have bought their way into American policy. If elections are not funded by we the voters, then they will be funded by the political predators, and we the people will pay the price. Let me add that we can bring down the cost of elections profoundly. People will argue against public funding, say, oh, it's going to absolutely rob the bank. But in fact, there's one very simple thing we can do which will drastically undercut the cost of funding campaigns. That is to open up the public airwaves to public use. And a president, if she wanted, on her first day in office, could actually instruct the Federal Communications Commission to begin to change regulations so that public candidates, candidates who are running for office, don't have to buy their way into the public dialogue. That public dialogue belongs to the voters. The airwaves are owned by all of us, and we need to start taking them back and using them for our benefit. The minute we do that, the cost of campaigns plummets. The predators can keep making their backroom deals. They can keep bringing in their billions of dollars, but it no longer gets them a benefit if a level playing field is created through open public use of the public airwaves.
And if you're out at the Kohl Center listening to this, or if you're going to go out to early vote, you have till 2 o'clock today. You have tomorrow for 4 hours, and you also have Monday for 4 hours to go out there. There's a Dare to Be Fair petition out there that, number one, will create districts in the city of Columbus, but perhaps more importantly, it will repeal $250 million in taxes that have been handed to the four wealthiest families in town who own the hockey team. That is, the casino money has been hijacked by the four wealthiest families, and even beyond that, more importantly, it has in the petition, which is going to change the city, publicly financed elections with free airtime from Channel 21 public access and Channel 3 government access. So if you want to be on the cutting edge, sign the Dare to Be Fair petition. We'll be right back on Fight Back.
You're listening to Fight Back. Dr. Bob will be back after these brief messages. Michael Collins, your progressive candidate for Franklin, Delaware, and Knox counties.
My name is Kylie, and I want to tell you about my dad, Michael Collins, who serves on the State Board of Education. Education is my dad's passion, and for over 30 years, Michael Collins has been serving Ohio's school children. He cares about our schools and will always work to make them better. Please vote for my dad, Michael Collins, for the State Board of Education, now through November 6th.
I'm Michael Collins, and I approve this message. Paid for by Collins for Schools, Kathy Ottinger, Treasurer.
I'm Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner. Every time I go to a Clippers ball game or a concert at the renovated Lincoln Theater, I'm reminded how lucky we are to live in Franklin County. Despite hard times, we're on a winning streak with the highest credit rating of any Ohio county, job creation, a partnership for healthy babies, and a program to support our veterans. Let's work together to make it better.
Keep Paula Brooks, Franklin County Commissioner.
Paid for by Paula Brooks Committee and Doreen Lenzati, Treasurer.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meat Packers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street downtown. Meat Packers Outlet is family-owned and operated and has proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meat Packers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items. This week's specials include a 10-pound bag of chicken leg quarters for just $9.90, thick sliced rind-on bacon $3.99 a pound, in-cut pork chops just $2.49 a pound, and Virginia baked ham is just $2.99 a pound. Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, closed Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main, downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
A yes vote on Issue 2 puts citizens in charge of fair elections. Your vote should count. A yes vote is critical. It means our voices will be heard. When you have fair elections, everyone wins. Vote yes on Issue 2.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
I'm busy with 2 jobs and a 2-year-old, but I will make time to vote. On equal pay and women's health, things I depend on, I know Democrats are right and Republicans are dead wrong. I'm voting for Democrats.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
This is Mayor Mike Coleman urging you to support your local Democrats this week and on Election Day, Tuesday, November 6th. Democrats across the nation, state and local levels have united like never before. Like Commissioner Paula Brooks, who is using her campaign to help other Democrats improve our entire community. Sheriff Zach Scott is a crime stopper. Sheriff Scott is working hard to make our community safer and stronger. Sheriff Scott has the support of the FOP, firefighters, OCSE, and Ask Me Local 11. Terry Brown, candidate for county recorder, is a true public servant both on and off the job. Terry Brown has worked in housing, community planning, and health care. Our entire Democratic slate represents fairness, equality, inclusion, and a good government. Democrats fight for seniors, workers, neighborhoods, and good jobs. This election, stand with the Democrats who have stood with you. Vote the Democratic ticket from top to bottom. Vote early or vote Tuesday, November 6th. Thank you.
Paid for by Franklin County Democratic Party, Greg Haas, Chairman.
I'm Ohio Supreme Court Justice Yvette McGee Brown. As the only Democrat on the Ohio Supreme Court, I believe in tough but fair justice. I was raised by a single mom, worked my way through college, and earned a scholarship to law school. As the only Democrat on the Supreme Court, I'm proud to have earned the respect of my 6 Republican colleagues. I'm Yvette McGee Brown, and I respectfully ask for your vote.
Highly recommended by the Ohio State Bar Association. Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, Chairman.
He doesn't just play a doctor. Bob Petrakis is a doctor. Just not that kind of doctor. Back to Fight Back with political science professor Dr. Bob Petrakis.
All right. We're fighting the powers that be. The Republicans are making their move. Karl Rove is finding obscure polls from Daily Investors News and Wall Street that tell you absurd lies like that the early voting is going for Mitt Romney.
Robert.
Because they're going to make their moves. And if the Democrats don't grow a spine this year, the Green Party already has one. And we don't have time for a transplant. So we'll make sure your vote counts. And we got Jill Stein here, presidential candidate, Green Party, in the studio. Michael.
We also have our good friend Harvey Wasserman on the line. Harvey.
Harvey Wasserman.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Harvey.
Harvey.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
When I was in college, I read your book, and then I learned you're only 4 years older than me.
And he lives just down the street from us.
Excellent.
Well,
what's up, Harvey?
It's great to be on with Jill Stein. Jill gave a beautiful speech yesterday at the State House. Right. I saw William McKinley just kind of turning over in his grave while he's listening to Jill Stein there. It was terrific.
Thank you. It was great to see you there.
And we had Sherry Hunkler with us, too, confronting yet another illegal software move on the part of the state of Ohio here. There's just no end to these guys.
Astounding, isn't it, Harvey?
It is amazing. But I got to tell you one thing. I found the most amusing article, and Jill get a kick out of this, on the Internet today. The Republicans in Colorado are claiming that on the touchscreen machines, if you push Mitt Romney, Obama lights up. This is what they did in 2004. People in northeastern Ohio, as you recall,
they did it the other way around.
Kerry and George Bush lit up. So looks like maybe we'll get some Republicans advocating hand counted paper ballots. What do you think?
Well, no, actually, it's more complex. In Marion, Ohio, they had the same complaint. I read the Marion Star because that's Norman Thomas's hometown. And also, of course, that's Warren G. Harding's newspaper. But here's what's happening. The RNC attorney has asked that 9 states do last-second recalibrations of the machines. Now, shockingly, the companies that will recalibrate are all hardcore right-wing, right-to-life companies, or owned formerly by Republicans like Senator Chuck Hagel. So to me, in Ohio, we just bring in strange experimental software. And these other 9 states, they're dying for ES&S and Romney's company, Heart Inner Civic, to get in there and do some last-second recalibration. This will be the ultimate jacking of the vote. I quite frankly doubt that they're really hopping. I think it's a cover story which will allow these private, for-profit, partisan corporate technicians to get at the machines, Harvey. And look, we know who these people are. Unlike other newspaper, we actually search them out. Sam Hogsett, as we like to call him, Honest Sam Hogsett, did the last second patch in Miami County just prior to 2,500 votes being shifted from Kerry to Bush illegally. And Sam Hogsett, when we searched him on the Internet, he likes to write letters to the editor. And my favorite one is that he wants to kill a liberal because at the moment, right before he shoots, the liberal will understand that he, Sam Hogsett, killed the liberal, not the gun. So that's the guy programming the machines.
Oh, he sounds charming.
Like Ohio. And the people watching the machines, the vice president of the Republican Party in Cincinnati, who is running the Board of Election, thank God, had the good sense to go to the Tea Party to get poll workers in Cincinnati. So the poll workers, and she also said that you could bring your iPad, even though there's a serial interface, could come into the polls with you. So, hopefully this is the end of faith-based voting, or as we call it, push and pray. Hopefully because of people like Jill Stein with enough courage to come out against it as a presidential candidate, these machines will be smashed in. Well, we're going to recycle them because we're green and use every part, but they were dumped in Ireland. They were taken out and literally destroyed because when the vote tallies come out and they're outside the margins of error, And you realize that you don't believe the big lie from Karl Rove that the universal laws of statistics apply everywhere on planet Earth except in Florida, in Ohio, and in battleground states. Once you refute that lie, the only thing you can do with these machines is trash them, or, as Jill Stein would do, properly recycle them.
Exactly. And, you know, I think we've sort of reached the end of the road. We've come to the logical conclusion of a voting system that has been rendered incomprehensible, invisible, and totally compromised and owned by the foxes who are now running the chicken coop. So it's a system that is out of sight, under the table, under the rug, high-tech, with proprietary code that the public does not have access to. This is a system begging for corruption. This is a perfect setup. There's no doubt it's going on, and this is exactly why we need to go back to simple, plain English, secure, honest votes that, in fact, are based on a hand-marked paper ballot. No fancy technology here. We need just plain, simple, hand-marked paper ballots so we can know what we are voting on. We have a paper trail of that record, unlike the last election where some 55 of the counties, this was in 2004, I believe, where 55 out of 88 counties disappeared their paper trail. You know, we need that paper trail. We need a hand-marked paper ballot. We need to put an end to this private ownership of a public commons that is essential to our democracy. We need to take back our votes.
Once again,
we need actually the Irish solution here. Ireland has just pitched their electronic voting machines and reverted back to hand-counted paper ballots, joining Germany, Switzerland, Japan, and Canada. And it's time the United States really joined those countries. And
so you're talking about the more sophisticated countries, Harvey. But once again, I have to take exception to something that Jill just said about the system being welcoming to corruption. I say it's founded on corruption.
Yeah, exactly.
It was designed for corruption.
Perfectly designed to steal elections. That's what their function is.
Exactly.
Right. If you design, I mean, let's take Romney's machines, Hard Inner Civic. If you have a machine where there's 12 known security points and you get a 0 out of 12, and within minutes people can hack your machine.
Oh, and by the way, you were just a minute ago talking about taking an iPad into the voting booth. That's the very pathway to hack the system. You can do it from an iPad within proximity of the machine. Robert, we found that out a couple weeks ago on your show.
Absolutely. And so the fact that this stuff is going on, and Jill's going to be debating tomorrow. Do you think any of these issues might emerge in the debate, and where can people watch that debate?
Well, tomorrow's debate, it will be live streamed, and I presume that our website is going to carry that. Mm-hmm. So you can go to jillstein.org. To find out, the debate is taking place at Busboys and Poets. This is Ralph Nader's debate. You know how he was always locked out of the debate?
Yeah.
Well, finally he gets his debate. He's not in it, but he is, that is, he's not debating, but he's actually emceeing the debate.
So, he's going to moderate?
Yeah. Okay. Ralph Nader finally gets his debate. And
well,
it'll be
Jill,
all,
now, are you certain that if you come to this debate, you're not going to get arrested?
You might want to explain that one to the listeners, Jill.
Okay, so my running mate, Sherry Honkel, and myself went to the second debate at Hofstra University and said, hey, we are on the ballot for 85% of voters. We got a situation now where one out of every two voters is not going to the polls. Doesn't that say something about how people need more choices, about how Obama and Romney are not engaging one out of every two voters? That's a pretty staggering number. Polls, again, show that one out of every two voters is actually clamoring for more choices for third parties. So we went to confront the beast. We went to the Commission on Presidential Debates at the second debate. knowing full well that, you know, they've been shutting out independent voices since they were founded in the 1970s. That's what they were founded for, in order to close the debates, in order to hijack the debates from the public forum that they used to be. The debates used to be run by the League of Women Voters, and the criteria for getting into the debate was that you were on the ballot in enough states to mathematically have the ability to win the race. And we are. We're there for 85% of voters, so we went there to say, hello, the voters deserve to know who their choices are. They deserve to know how we got where we are. The fact that, you know, it's not just Bain Capital that's taking jobs overseas. In fact, it's these free trade agreements originally signed by Democratic President Bill Clinton, expanded massively by Barack Obama over the last 4 years. And in fact, there's another such free trade agreement being negotiated right now behind closed doors called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which will continue to send our jobs overseas and undermine wages here at home and compromise American sovereignty by creating an international board of corporate representatives who get to decide whether our regulations and our laws are legitimate. So we got big problems, and it wasn't just the Republicans that brought us here. In fact, Barack Obama has actually embraced most of the key policies of George Bush and gone far beyond him on the expanding wars, on the Wall Street bailouts, on the drill baby drill energy policies that are giving the thumbs up to fracking and to more offshore drilling and opening up our national parks and undermining, in fact, the international climate accords that say no agreement till 2020 when it will be too late. The public deserves to know who got us here and, even more important, how we get out of it. So, yeah, that's why we went to the debates. And what happened to us also speaks volumes about what happens when we shut down democracy. Because when you shut down democracy, what you get actually is a police state. And we were put into tight plastic restraints. We were hauled off to a secret dark site run by some combination of Homeland Security, local police, and the Secret Service. We were surrounded by 16 cops for most of the next 8 hours, and we were handcuffed to chairs for 8 hours and then finally released. But, you know, all because we went to the debate to insist that the American people get the full accounting of how we got here and what our choices are going forward. The American people deserve that.
You
by locking out the candidates, they're locking out the voices of the American
people.
So
you weren't in North Korea when this happened?
Well, luckily...
I'm thinking Bulgaria. That's where, remember the secret prisons in Bulgaria the U.S. was running?
Exactly. And what's really scary is that now the president has the legal authority to send us off wherever he wants. Any of us, in fact, have lost our presumption of innocence. Any of us can be imprisoned, sent off for rendition, for whatever, without charge and without trial. This is another reason why it's so critical, I think, in this election, not to just go along to get along, not to go into the voting booth and vote for a Wall Street-sponsored candidate.
Go along to get along. I want to ask Jesse Jackson about that one. Jill, we do have a caller, Stephen, who has a question for you.
Great.
Hi, good morning, Jill. Welcome to Columbus.
Thank you, Stephen.
Ground zero of the election here, supposedly, according to all the mainstream media, Ohio's. The HABA law requires a 1 in 500,000 error rate maximum. We're way beyond that. The election machines are definitely outliers or outlaws. So, to me, this is a national emergency. We don't have an election. We have a sham, and the rich are running the vote, as you guys have been talking about.
Exactly. And that's why we're putting out the word right now that we are ready ready to go into action. And in fact, I think, you know, that right now, in fact, election law lawyers are calling for an injunction on the use of these reprogrammed, suddenly illegitimately machines. We are putting out notice that the election boards must hang on to, as they're required by law, their paper trail, because we are presuming that there will be a vote count. Our schedule is open and blocked off so that we will be here helping to lead the charge to ensure that the citizens of Ohio actually have their votes counted.
It's not just those things. It's the fact that Command Central is taking the electronic cards and just making them disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be retained. They were supposed to retain them for 21 days in Wisconsin.
Well, as you know, the Free Press again intervened with public records request, and we were told that if they didn't send them back in 15 days, we would have to pay $4,000. They didn't print anything out. These are totally electronic, and we could have printed them out with a driver, but they said it would cost us $4,000 per precinct if we wanted to look at the printout, because the contract called for them to be sent back to this strange little company called Command Central.
We have another call. We have another caller on the line, also named Stephen. There is another Stephen here.
Stephen.
No, this was me originally. Somehow I was disconnected.
All right. What's on your mind, Steve?
Yes. Well, Jill had mentioned that Barack has been expanding on many of Bush's policies, and I was just curious to know, seems that there is not much being made about these voting machines from the Democratic Party, and could it be that somehow they know about how easy it is to be tampered with, and they plan on doing some tampering themselves? Because I know that the Carlisle group also has some voting machines, and Obama and the Bush family, believe it or not, are very friendly.
Well, that's Seidel, and that's the military overseas vote that's involved there. Still, I think the key is who owns the maintenance contract, and the Obama people, as we know, we still got Triad, we still got ES&S. The vast majority of those seem to be very right. I mean, to be quite frank, this technology came out of the CIA. As Jill well knows, that which we used to do covertly in the third world, rigging elections called, quote, benign operations, as opposed to bloody coups in the 70s and 80s, a lot of that technology now seems to have worked its way back into the United States. So that surprise you, Jill Stein?
No, it doesn't. And I think the same concern applies right now to the drone wars, you know, to the drone
wars
where the drones are now coming home to actually spy on U.S. citizens. And there was some recent case of some doctoral student who was actually planning to use drone technology, so he's accused of, allegedly, in some terrorist event here as well. So, you know, what goes around comes around. And I think
torture.
It's... torture? Yeah, exactly. The assassinations, you know, originally assassinations to use against terrorists overseas, now to use against U.S. citizens as well, anywhere, potentially. So, you know, I think it's really important for us to think big here. You know, to think holistic, and the questions that Steve raised about, you know, are the Democrats in collusion here somehow? And I think, you know, what is going on behind the walls of the Democratic Party is hard to know, because it's a secret. It is a cabal.
Aren't they the junior partner? I mean,
exactly.
From my perspective, the rich own the Republican Party,
exactly.
And they lease the Democrats.
They sure do.
Oh, it's a franchise.
It's not rocket science to realize that we are losing it all. The American people are being thrown under the bus.
Oh,
what is it that Barack Obama says he's going to accomplish in his first year right now? He went on record with the Des Moines Register last week to say that within the first year, he would be cutting Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. So there is a big wake-up that is going on right now.
Thank God we elected Mitt Romney.
I get
exactly.
It's a
exactly.
profit deal.
The bottom line, you know, I think, is that we are the ones that we've been waiting for. They are not. Distinguish the talk from the walk. Look at the record. Look at where we've gotten. We are accelerating over the cliff here under Democrats as well as Republicans. It's really critical for us to stand up now before we've lost entirely our civil liberties, our ability to do so. And it's not only with voting. It's also with that social movement, and I really want to encourage people to be engaged for the long haul and to work also with the Green Party, because in the absence of that, we are a series of movements which are all fighting independently for voting rights, for decent wages for workers, for the jobs we need, for stopping climate change, for bailing out students, for God's sakes. The Fed is now spending $40 billion a month bailing out the banks for the fourth time for all the good that that's done us. They are still too big to fail, too big to jail, still writing the rules for their own skyrocketing profits. We need to stop bailing out the banks, break up the banks, and instead bail out the students, get them out of debt, and start making public higher education free, which it should be, along with free health care as a human right under Medicare for all.
Like they do in all the civilized countries that we can name within the next half hour. Jill, we're joined right now by WVKO morning news anchor Sean Gilbo, who joins the conversation. Sean, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Usually I'm not up this early in the morning considering the 4 a.m. wake-up calls. But I wanted to commend Jill for everything she's doing as far as promoting the hanky-panky and the potential hanky-panky that's taking place. I mentioned it on all the newscasts this morning.
Great.
And as indicated by the last one email which was forwarded to me, I was high-strung again yesterday morning because things are getting crazy before the election. Now, Dr. Bob, you mentioned about early voting. Mm-hmm. We have been emphasizing this from day one on WVKO to get out to the early voting centers in Franklin and the surrounding counties. I do need to make a correction, though, on Monday. It will be open from 8 until 2 as it is today, Saturday, 8 until 2, tomorrow 1 to 5 p.m., and then 8 to 2 on Monday. Part of the reason why we've been emphasizing this is that, especially when we found this out as we were promoting this, no ID is required when you go to early voting.
Maybe the last four digits of your social, right?
And your driver's license number. You have to place on the ballot. Although I've been recommending people, and being in the I work at the BMV, make sure you know what the Franklin County Board of Elections has for you as far as your name and address before you head out there. And it's simply a matter of Googling Franklin County, Ohio Board of Elections. Just be prepared. We want the votes to count. And one good thing about this is I went there on October 9th, with the last day of voter registration. Even though the lines were long going through, it went very smoothly, and I got out of there in very quick timing. And the most important thing, in comparison with 2004, which is when you and I met Dr. Bob, there's a paper trail.
Absolutely important.
Now, I do have to take exception to one thing that Michael said, actually, on Radio Outlook within the past hour. I do believe about voting straight down ticket, but there were two races where I didn't vote Democratic. One, because there was a judge race where there was no Democratic on the ballot. And two, the other race which I didn't vote Democratic is because I voted for Dr. Bob.
All right. And if I show up with zero votes, you're going to sign an affidavit.
Well, actually, Dr. Bob, after this election is over, I'm thinking you should run for Secretary of State, but we're going to have to talk because since I work for the BMV, I'm covered under the state's Party. Little hatch act.
But then we'd have a fair election.
Hey, Sean, I have other plans for Dr. Bob, so you stay out of this, okay? I'm going to be his campaign manager. We're sending this guy to Washington. All right.
I understand that. Hey, I'm going to let you get back to the conversation. But, Michael, are you going to have a couple minutes during... is your show, the Blue State Diner, booked up?
No, come on through,
over. Or is it safe for me to call back in within the next hour to talk about Tuesday night?
You can call back in.
All right, great.
All right.
I'll let you get back to the conversation, folks.
Right. All right, Johnny.
Let me get to Jill. Jill, I want to ask you two things. You're talking about walking the walk, talking the talk. What about jobs? What would you do that's different on the jobs issue?
It's not rocket science, how we can create
rocket
jobs.
Rocket surgery?
Not even that. They keep saying, just wait. Barack Obama says, it's getting better. Just wait. It's working. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Well, what they're doing is sending jobs overseas. They're expanding those free trade agreements that make it happen. Wages are continuing to decline. The jobs that are coming back are low-wage insecure now, even low-wage manufacturing jobs. So they talk about manufacturing, but it's a whole different animal now. It's low-wage, it's insecure, it's not a living wage. So it ain't working, it ain't getting better. We are calling for a Green New Deal, like the New Deal that got us out of the Great Depression. In the first 2 months of the New Deal, we created 4 million jobs. So there's absolutely no excuse for us to be stagnating in this high unemployment, high underemployment economy. So that means nationally funded, but locally controlled. So communities decide what they need to become sustainable.
We're talking a new WPA,
exactly.
TVA.
We're talking about
conservation corps.
All those things, public works, public
maybe
services.
Even building seawalls in New York.
There you go. How about building public transportation
Could
systems?
We have a train in Columbus. We haven't had one since 79.
How about a train in Columbus, and how about a train between Columbus and Cincinnati for
Hell,
that
we,
matter?
My God. We even took down the train station.
Bulgaria.
We don't even have a train station anymore. We have another caller on the line. It's Judith here for Jill.
Judith.
Good morning. I think your conversation is very stimulating. I think it's true what you're saying, but my concern, Jill, okay, more than 40% of the voters have already cast their votes. My concern right now is that I don't want to do anything to discourage people from voting. And I never thought I would hear myself say that, but I don't want them to get so turned off with Obama that they flip and go with Romney. What do you think about that?
That's why I'm in the race, because you have a lot of people who feel like...
I know, but really, okay.
Well, you know, right now, half of voters are not voting because they don't like the options that are out there. And they're, in fact, half of voters are clamoring for other options. Don't they deserve it? They want you to think that you are locked in to two candidates who are both cutting your jobs, cutting your Medicare, cutting your Social Security, sending your jobs overseas, undermining your wages, making the cost of health care skyrocket. Did you know that under the Affordable Care Act, and I'll just add that I'm a doctor too, I'm actually one of those medical doctors. And
a real doctor.
I live in the state where we actually already have Obamacare, but there we call it RomneyCare. And in fact, they agree that it's the way to go. But unfortunately, it has a track record. And the state is still going broke. And everyday people, when they need care, they too are going broke. So it actually doesn't solve the problem. It works for the pharmaceutical and the insurance companies who wrote the bills, in fact. You know, but it's not working. And you know, and yet our campaign can actually push forward those solutions. You don't have to vote for more of those things that are hurting you. You don't. They want to convince you that you are powerless. You can do nothing but choose between two actors who are both serving their corporate sponsors. And that has a track record. This politics of fear, you're told to be very afraid of standing up. It will do something terrible. And for the last 10 years, since Bush, Nader, Gore, a lot of people have practiced that politics of fear. It now has a track record. Let's look back. Where did it get us? The politics of fear actually got us everything we were afraid of. The expanding war, the meltdown of the climate, the skyrocketing bailouts for Wall Street, which actually got much bigger under Barack Obama, as did the offshoring of our jobs, as did the undermining of our wages, the attack on working people and our civil liberties, skyrocketing of student debt. It's just, you know, it is a trap. The real solution here, which has a great track record, is actually the politics of courage. That's how we've actually moved forward with Social Security, with Medicare, with the right of workers to get decent wages and have safe workplaces, to get health care for everyone as a human right. We got the solutions. We need to stand up and demand it. As Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. We got to bring that demand into the public discussion.
By the way, that was the crypto quote about 2 weeks ago. Was the Frederick Douglass line you just quoted, Jill Stein. And we do. I do want to get to the importance of the vote in Ohio for the Green Party to, in order to stay on the ballot before we're done with Jill. But we do have another caller. Sarah is on the line. Sarah?
I just want to stress that there is a difference between Democrats and Republicans. I don't know about a third party. I'm not really interested. But there is a basic difference. The Democrats do work for people. And to say that Barack Obama will slash Social Security and Medicare, that's false. And let me speak.
Okay,
what he will do is go in and determine where the money is being wasted, where there's fraud. I know from personal experience.
What about
my son just had two orders of supplies. He's on Medicaid, and he didn't need and didn't want. This is the kind of stuff that President Obama will be slashing. Waste and fraud and abuse, not not services to people. I don't believe that. I don't believe it.
Well, you know, this is what he himself has said, and he actually told it to the Des Moines Register 2 weeks ago, about a week and a half ago.
There is a vast difference between those two parties.
I want to agree with you that there are differences around the margins.
Democrats are for people. Republicans are for the extreme rich. And if there's a party in between, fine. But I'm a Democrat, and that's how I'm staying.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you. And I certainly respect that. A lot of people have their beliefs, and they're going to vote their beliefs. It's a faith-based voting system for many people. But in fact, you want to separate the talk from the walk. We heard a lot of glorious talk from the president 4 years ago. But in fact, what we got was more shipping of jobs overseas. The Wall Street bailouts, just look at that. George Bush had provided $700 billion to Wall Street. But under Barack Obama, that $700 billion became $4.5 trillion in monies actually given to Wall Street and the big banks and the big corporations, plus another $16 trillion in zero-interest loans. Meanwhile, millions of homeowners were allowed to be thrown out of their homes by these predatory mortgages. That has not been fixed. There are 36 million students who are indentured servants because they are trapped in these loans. Instead of bailing out the banks, we should be bailing out the students and the homeowners. There are many seniors who were trapped by these predatory loans, and that has not been fixed. So it's important. You've got to separate the talk from the walk. Many Democrats are loyal to the Democratic Party of 20 and 30 years ago, but unfortunately, it got bought out. It's a different animal.
Bob.
They're afraid of Mitt Romney, but that doesn't mean there's substantial
differences. I just want to let listeners know that we are running over. We have passed the noon hour, and ordinarily in this hour we would be listening to the Blue State Diner. But as host of the Blue State Diner, I'm going to concede my time to fight back, because I think the importance of having Jill Stein here on WVK is an important thing. And I'm going to just let you continue for the time being, and also ask you, Bob, if you won't stay over and be my first.